morning. It's great to see everyone this morning. Just get that Apple TV up, please, Gordon. That would be tremendous. Thank you. This week, I left a summer conference a little bit early. Usually I don't leave it early, but on Sunday, just after lunch, I left because I had to do some speaking here in town. And then in the evening, a week ago this evening, I drove up to the Okanagan to be involved in a teaching at a teen camp in a place called, it's called West Bank, but it's West Kelowna. And it's a spot that at one time the camp was in a rural area. If anybody's driven towards Kelowna, and there's a big sort of lumber mill that's actually owned by Steve Scott's family. It's a big, massive lumber mill there called Gorman's Lumber, and that's the family business. It's pretty lucrative. And up above that, it's all residential houses now, but there's a Bible camp right in the middle of all that area. It's kind of weird because you drive into the Bible camp and you think, you know, how's it going to be with all these people around? But you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere at the camp. It's a really cool camp. I've never been there before. And so Mark Scott, which is Steve's younger brother, he invited me to come and speak to the teens. And so I went from Sunday night. I arrived, got on the pulpit, and preached twice a day until Friday evening, and then drove back yesterday. So had a great time. New group of people, it was nice weather for the most part. It's a cool little camp. It's got a zip line, which was kind of, I even tried that, didn't kill myself. And as you can see, I'm still here. And so it had a good time. But I had to show you some pictures of some stuff here that I got up at 4:30 one morning, and it was just a beautiful sunrise. But we had a roasted pig on Friday night. I have never been involved in roasting a pig, and it was extremely, extremely fun. And I helped cut it up, right? We had to take the skin off, and, you know, I felt like a man, you know? I mean, this is bacon at its finest, right? And so, you know, that's all the fat. Oh, so I just thought for all you people that would be just thinking about that, there you go. It was a bucket full of fat. What is it, a bucket of lard? That's after it's cooked. That's Steve's dad. His name's Andrew Scott. That's Steve's dad anyway. And then we put some sunglasses on the head, so. Anyway, that's all the pictures I'll show you. My topic this week with the youth was the limitless love of God and the limitless power of God. And we just went through the limitless grace of God, and we went through a number of different aspects of the limitless ways of God. And I chose one of the messages because I just really enjoyed teaching this, and I thought I'd pass this on to you about God's limitless knowledge or understanding of us. And for the next 3 weeks, I will be away. I leave Tuesday. I'm going back to Chile. I've got to speak at a conference a week tomorrow. There's a special conference I've got to speak at, and I've got also to continue some of the work that I do down there. So I'm going into winter this time, so I'm not really too excited about that because it's cold, especially at night and early morning. The daytime could be a little bit warmer, but there's no central heating, so you just hunker down and freeze your head off. Anyway, I wanted to do this message. We won't start series until later on into the fall. But as we prepare towards the fall, let's be reminded about our gospel meeting, September 11th. We've got the poster done, and Daniel, the poster's fine. Connie thinks we just should go ahead with it, so no worries. And we have the poster already. We're going to have some invitations for everybody, and on that day, we're going to have a barbecue after. And so just really, really want you to not only start praying now, but preparing your hearts and preparing your invitation for people that want to come and hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Sunday we have a message here, but specifically that Sunday we take a look at the gospel. And Kevin Sawatsky, as you know, is a very intelligent man who can really express and communicate the gospel in a clear way, and we sure appreciate him. And so please get prepared for that. It's just over a month away, so let's really prepare our hearts passionately doing that, thinking of your friends that you want to invite. But let's turn our hearts to this topic, the limitless power and love and understanding that God has of us. You know, one of the things that we try to find out, that we struggle with in life, is that, does God really understand me? Right? Because there's a lot of us, like for example, I was talking late Friday night with this young girl, her name's Rebecca, and I hadn't really talked to her, I greeted her during the week, and she's 18 years of age, just graduated a little while ago from high school, and so we were having a chat. She said, I want to talk to you. And I said, what's going on? And so on Friday morning, I talked about relationships and about not only, every kind of relationship, whether it was to do with a girl and a guy or was to do with parents or to do with authority, school teachers, principals, everybody in life, how God views relationships and how we should handle them. And one of the things I mentioned was what you need to honor your father and your mother. That's a biblical principle. And so she sat with me and she said, you know, it's really hard to honor my father because he's not what we expect of a father. And she listed all the different things that had gone on with him. And you know, she had a point, right? She had a point. The father had been absent and also had not treated them well. My heart went out to her. Here's this girl. She looks like an adult, and yet it was like I was talking to a child in some ways because of the wounding that the father had done to her. For any of you that have a dad who has maybe not acted in the way that you would have expected, I'm so sorry. You know, that is hard, I know. And then for you that have fathers that are good, that are kind, you know, honor them. You have no idea how good you got it. After sitting with her and watching and hearing her heart, my heart was broken for her. And hearing her heart. And she desperately wants to honor and respect her father. She's finding it so difficult. And so what it is that she has put up barriers with people. She'll go into a relationship and she'll cut off the relationship when it gets just a little bit too close. You know, I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about emotionally. They put up barriers right away. She said, that's what I struggle with. And so maybe you're here and you're thinking, well, how can God identify with me? How does he know about me? And so I want to go through some points that'll maybe help us get there. Now, we had some Japanese students, 12 of them, and so I had to go to Google Translate and I put the Japanese words, so it's not that I speak Japanese, but I thought, you know what, I'm not going to change it. I'm just going to use it. So it gives you a little twist to my PowerPoint, right? So, and now we know what poverty is in Japanese, right? Hinkon. Okay, so The first three things that I want to look at is that the Lord Jesus Christ could identify himself through a number of different things. And one of them was that he identified with us because of poverty. You're saying, hold on, you know, what are you talking about there? And so we'll discover that. But before we go there, let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 13. Psalm 103, verse 13. And it says the following. It says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. It, quite often, when we think of a father, we think of discipline. We think of he doesn't let me do this, or he doesn't let me do that, and he's putting, you know, barriers and stops. Right? While I was up there, my daughter sent me a text, and she wanted to go out to something that my wife and I said, no, you can't go to it, and she wasn't very happy, you know. In part of the text, she used the word whatever, right? And so that obviously, and what? It was the question. So, you know, what it is, you're not going to always like how your father or mother sometimes guides you and directs you. But, you know, when we do it for your good. Well, God's like that, and he shows compassion. And you know what? Compassion towards you isn't always, oh, let me see, are you okay? You know, and that's how we kind of think of compassion. Sometimes God shows compassion through protecting you. He shows compassion through guarding you because he knows that you're vulnerable. And so this is something that we see in how the Lord is described in this Psalm of David. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Now, how can God identify himself with us? Well, we know that he came in human form and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at some of the things that Jesus went through. First of all, let's look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 58. Luke 9 and verse 58. Luke 9 and 58, it says the following. It says, Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my dead. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And then it talks about another person who says, I want to go follow you. But Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. What he's talking about is to individuals, and he's saying to them, there's a cost to following me. And sometimes that will include poverty. That will include maybe having less. Now, I don't want you to feel bad for me, but my in our family, we don't own our own home. Now, it's not because it's because when I was in my early 20s, when a lot of my friends were building up, you know, a lot of financial foundation, they were able to, you know, put down, you know, they didn't have children, put down down payments and all those sorts of things towards a home. And now with the prices the way they went, we found ourselves in a very good rental situation. So we have a very good rental situation in Ladner. We've lived in the same home for about 21 years. And we rent it. And, you know, we're grateful to the Lord. And it's just very difficult to get into the housing market. Now, it's not that we live in poverty. You guys know. I mean, we have a decent car and whatnot. But if you think that I'm a really, really wealthy guy, you've got it all wrong. And I don't feel sorry for myself, nor do my children feel sorry for themselves, you know, or anything like that. And yes, have they complained? You bet they have. You know, my sons are older teenage young men, and they sleep in the same room. they've got to share. Now, when we think of that, that poverty is something that can come to us all. Now, we live in Canada, and for the most part, you know, we are really, really comfortable. Now, some of you may say, well, yeah, I'm not as comfortable as maybe someone else in my church or at my school or even people I work with. And as time progresses, we can accumulate a little bit more wealth. But we're fairly comfortable here in Canada. There are a lot of good things that we have. I have seen abject poverty. I have been brokenhearted by poverty in my life by watching and seeing individuals. I think one of the most graphic ones was a little boy and a little girl. Mother either left or died, I'm not sure. The father was ill. And I went in to see where they were living, and the father, wasn't there at the time. And it was like in the middle of this pathway, it was middle of this road almost, kind of like, and there were roads like on either side. There were houses, but it was this little hut. And I've never seen poverty like that. These little children, you know, all on their own. I mean, both of them were probably under 7 years of age. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, look, the cost of following me sometimes will involve poverty. And you know, there was a time when the Lord Jesus had no place to lay his head. He had no place to, you know, he didn't have the kind of money that maybe some of the others had. And so many of the people that were poor, they could identify with him. And the Lord Jesus was able to identify with people that struggled with poverty and struggled in life on a financial basis. And here it's very graphically written. And even though it's attached to the fact that there's a cost in following Christ sometimes. And so I told you that story about ourselves and how there is a cost, and that was my cost of setting ourselves up in a certain way and getting some sort of security that way. But that was a cost, and I've counted it, and I don't regret it. And so I know what the Lord is talking about here. And so he says, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, he understood what poverty was and identified with it. The next one was when Jesus was at the well in John chapter 4 and verse 6. And in John chapter 4 and verse 6, he's ministering at a well to a woman who is out there because she doesn't want to be identified by the gossips of the town. And it's a woman from a place called Samaria. And Jesus is there, but we're going to not take a look at that story of the woman. We're going to look at what Jesus was experiencing when he came to that well. He says, Jacob's well was there, verse 6 of chapter 4. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. What do we read here? He was wearied. He was tired. We know that often Jesus would minister to people, right? And then he would, there's a description of him getting into a boat and going across, I think it was the Sea of Galilee, and he's going across there and he's trying to get to the other side. Why? Because he's tired, he's weary. People have come and they've exhausted him. And they go and find him on the other side. The Lord took time for people and consistently was involved. He went to the point of exhaustion at times. You ever been tired? The Lord knows. The Lord knows what it is to be tired. So when you start complaining about, oh, I'm tired, so much work that I've got, you know, and that's okay. But you can, you know, when you tell the Lord, Lord, I really am really tired. I'm exhausted. He knows. The next one is he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus Christ had been betrayed in his life. You ever been betrayed? Remember when Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the Lord was there? And let's look at actually the Gospel of Mark chapter 14. Gospel of Mark chapter 14. And it's the account of where Jesus is in a variety of different things. The different things that he's going through just before he was crucified. And it says there that Peter was below in the courtyard, verse 66. One of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, You were also with the Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. The servant girl saw him and began to say to the bystanders, this man is one, is one of them. This man is one of them. But again he denied it. And after a little while the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you're one of them, for you're a Galilean. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down. There's also, you don't have to turn to it, there's also an account of where Judas Iscariot, who was one of the disciples of Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 15, and it says there that then one of the 12 whose name was Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, what will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he sought an opportunity to betray him. The Lord Jesus Christ understood what it was to be betrayed. You know, have you ever called someone a traitor? You're a traitor, right? You know, you might be playing a game and someone goes over to the other side. Oh, you're a traitor now, right? And so we joke around. But to be betrayed, that's a little bit deeper. You know, have you ever told someone something, a secret? You know, this happens a lot in high school. And you tell someone a secret and then all of a sudden everyone else knows about it. You go, I've been betrayed. And you know what? That can happen in many places. It can even happen at church. We can betray people and we can, you know, and that's a lousy feeling, isn't it? What does it say here? Jesus understood. In fact, he was betrayed by someone who spent time with him. You know, I sometimes identify with Judas Iscariot because there's sometimes when I, or with even Peter, because sometimes I act in ways and say things that really betray the Lord. And he's faithful and he's consistent. What did Jesus do with Peter? You know, he forgave him. What did he, you know, Peter was looking for the opportunity to meet him again and say, I'm so sorry. You know, and Peter was restored to his relationship with God, or with, I should say, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he lived a life. In fact, we have books written by him. He was a great influence on the early church, one of the apostles, one of the pillars of the faith. And he went through, even he betrayed the Lord. Jesus experienced betrayal. Grief. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he wept in Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Don't turn there because of time. It says there that he wept over the city of Jerusalem. He wept over the city of Jerusalem because Jerusalem had undergone so much. It was the center where the temple was and where it was that place of incredible splendor during the time of Solomon. It was a time of incredible things that God had done, and it was a city that had been ransacked at one point. It was a city that had gone through so much, and it was the city where Jesus was going to be crucified. And Jesus wept over the city because he knew what was coming. He knew of what had happened, the history. But mostly because within a week's time, when he's weeping over the city, he would be given over to the Roman soldiers. He would be beaten and he would be hurt. He experienced grief. He even experienced grief when he saw how people felt when his friend Lazarus was dead. It says that's shortest verse in the Bible, right? Jesus wept. He knew what it was. Have you ever cried? Have you ever had grief in your life? You know, I think all of us have had some sort of grief, whatever it might be. Just let you know that God, through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, can identify with you. He knows how you feel. So when you and I have our burdens, we can take them to the Lord. He understands us. You know, Isaiah 53, don't need to turn there, but what does it say? It says that he was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. And as from one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. But he was acquainted with grief. And that was the prophet Isaiah that wrote it hundreds of years before. And he wrote this understanding in Isaiah 53 that looked prophetically towards the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was acquainted with grief. If you ever feel saddened, if you ever feel grief, know that the Lord, he understood it. Not only was he betrayed, but he felt grief. So, temptation. You might think, well, what do you mean? Well, one of the things that we establish and we believe in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. He never sinned. Okay? There are some people that even read the Bible and they think that Jesus might have sinned or was, but he did not, ever. He was perfect in every way. Yet, there was temptation that came towards him. If we read Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, it gives us an understanding of that. And so it describes it to us. In 2:18 it says there, let's read from verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Okay, so God made him like ourselves, but yet it was because he could become a merciful and faithful high priest. In other words, he could be sacrificed on behalf of ourselves in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people, because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted, going through difficult times. And so what it is that, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, what happened there was those two thieves, one of them ridiculed Jesus and said, come on, if you really are who you say you are, do something about it. The other one said, you don't understand. We are guilty. He's innocent. We read how he could have called legions of angels to defend. And yet, in his perfection and his goal, he chose not to. He was taken out, and the devil tried to get him to completely fall. And every time he answered, he would say, with regard to his hunger, he says, man shall not live by bread alone. He also said, you should worship the Lord your God. You know, the devil, he wanted to make him, he said, yeah, I'll offer you everything. He says, even jump off, and he took him up to that high part of the temple. He said, jump off here. You know, your angels will come and rescue you. And Jesus said, no. His duty was to do the will of the Father. He understood what it was to be pressured, and yet he did not sin. It doesn't mean that you and I are going to be sinless in our life, but we certainly, when we have God in our lives, we believe that Christ died for us and the Spirit of God lives us. in us. We can fight against any temptation that comes our way. When we're tempted to think or say or do something that would be against what God would desire, we can quote scripture, or we can enjoy the fact that we have a relationship. We put the priority on God and we say, I believe and trust in the living God and I will follow Him. He suffered. You know, we can try to find a meaning for what suffering is. You know, it's hard to find out what true suffering is. I don't think that any one of us have probably, you know, maybe you've been heartbroken in a relationship and you say, oh, you know, I've suffered so much. Like, believe me, that's not suffering. Yeah, it feels lousy. It does. But have you ever suffered? Truly suffered? You know, I've known of people who go through difficult times and, you know, they have a cancer or they are, you know, they have one thing after another happen to them in their life and they suffer. Or individuals that have suffered at the hand of a parent that's terrible. You know, I've known people who've been abused and hurt. They've gone through suffering. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, He confided in His disciples in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38. This is what He says to His disciples. Listen to this. In Matthew 26 and verse 38, He says, Jesus said to them, My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with Me. When He was anticipating going to the cross, Jesus knew what it was. There was an emotional suffering. He knew that He would be sacrificed, that there would be a moment. It was a very human experience that He was going through. But what did He say to the Father? He said, not My will, but Yours be done. You know why He said that? Because you and I could have the opportunity to believe and trust the living God and believe Him and follow Him with all our hearts. Did that for you and for me. He went through suffering on that cross. You know, even before the cross, I've often mentioned during communion service how He was hit. You know, He was blindfolded and he was hit. And what would happen is that they'd say, okay, if you're really say who you say you are, who hit you? It was mocked. You know, suffering is something that we can even put down to persecution sometimes, and oh, I've suffered so much, and people laugh at you for your faith, or maybe it's someone in your family. I was talking to kids this week, and that's what some of them said. They you know, anytime that they want to go to church or anything like that, their parents laugh at them. Their own parents, they don't want them to go, and they make fun of them for their faith. Imagine that. Imagine if you were. You know, some of you kids are here and you're putting your head back and closing your eyes because you're tired or whatever it is, and I don't know. And your parents bring you to church. They bring you because they love you and they care for you. They want you to have a personal relationship with God. They want that for you. You don't suffer like that. But I met kids that want to go to church. Oh, I sat with a kid and his parents they used to go to church. They don't go to church. He's dying to go to church. He'd look at you and go, man, you're so fortunate. Jesus suffered. If you've suffered anything, he can identify with you. The final thing is that feeling that God doesn't hear you. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, listen to what it says there. It says there, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out. Now, let's read from verse 45. It says, from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And Jesus, about the ninth hour, cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, or Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know that particular phrase? What it is that he felt forsaken. He felt like the doors of heaven were shut. You know, I have heard this one. If I had a dollar for every time I heard this one, you know, I pray to God and he doesn't hear me. Or I feel like he doesn't hear me. I feel like I'm speaking to brass doors. I guarantee you, every one of us have thought that or said that at one point or another. This girl on Friday night, that's what she said. She goes, I feel like I'm not talking to anybody. And so we talked about that. Jesus understood. Like it wasn't being heard. The Lord was thirsty. He wept. He had anger. It was righteous anger, but indignation. He understood that. The list goes on, but our time is gone. And so, how does that apply to you and to me? How do we figure that out? How do we, you know, think about how God feels? You know, if you ever think that God has no interest or no understanding of you, you know, come and see me. Or if you've written down the notes, look over these notes and some of these verses. And know that God can enter in to the feelings and the things that you have experienced. Jesus was involved in a lot of things. We haven't even talked about the joy. But I'm sure he enjoyed great times of friendship with his disciples. In fact, with John, it says it was the disciple whom Jesus loved. There was a special relationship. It was such a special relationship that he said when he was on the cross, he entrusted his mother to John. John the Apostle. He said, this is your mother. You know, look after her. And he gave that response, but he loved. And he loved his mother and he loved his friends. So you may find yourself that you've gone through some of these experiences. And what does Jesus say? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to Jesus. He knows who you are. He didn't sin, but he gave his life as a sacrifice for your sin. He understands you, and he wishes you to enjoy eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, and a hope for all of eternity. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these moments we've had together. And our prayer is that we would truly understand your heart for us. Lord, may Christ be glorified through what has been said, that you identify yourself with us. And that's our prayer, is that each one of us would understand that. And if there's someone here that needs to make it right with you, they need to understand more deeply your love and your care, that they would trust you and put their faith in you and receive the forgiveness of sins. And for those who are believers and they just have felt like maybe you haven't been listening or that they could understand that you know and how you feel. And sometimes we realize that you have shown us in different ways that you can identify with humanity and the pain and the suffering, the joys of what it is to be a human being. We thank you that you identified with us through sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, who became the sacrifice for our sins. Thank you. Be with us now as we continue in Jesus' name.